joining a church doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. Being baptized doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. Giving your money to the church doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. Jesus made it very clear and complete when he said, you must be born again of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, Raul will continue our salvation series with a helpful look at what it means to be born again. When we hear this term in church circles, it's not always clear how our rebirth should take place or why it even needs to happen. Stay with us to see that the only way to enter God's kingdom is to die to your old sinful nature and allow the Lord to transform you through the power of His Holy Spirit. Today's lesson is titled Regeneration, the New Birth. Join us in John chapter 3.
A lot of people have the idea of being born again of the Holy Spirit, but when we begin to describe the experience biblically and theologically, many people may be surprised that they have never truly have been born again of the Holy Spirit. Especially when you come to the word regeneration, which is a Greek word, which literally means a being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, or the spiritual change wrought in a man by the Holy Spirit by which he becomes the possessor of a new life in Jesus Christ. Justification is a change in our relationship to God, where regeneration is a change in our moral and spiritual nature. There's a difference. Regeneration is represented in the scriptures as seen in terms like born again, born of God, or born of the Holy Spirit, all through the scriptures. According to the description theologically on the word regeneration, it is a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person. It brings him to that personal knowledge of Jesus Christ by having a new birth, or being born again of the Holy Spirit, even as Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus here is approaching Jesus. In chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and 2, he says this, "And there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that's come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So I know there is something different about you." Now, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. This means that he was a senator or a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. Among the Sanhedrin, there were 72 members. 72 members that rule the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was one of them. He belonged to the Sanhedrin. He was also a Pharisee. He was a master of Israel. A master of Israel. That is, he held some official position of the highest rank. He was either the leading official or the leading teacher of Israel, who was either authorized or accepted as such by the public to listen to. And he was rich. He had a lot of money. He came from a wealthy family. But here Nicodemus now is asking one of the greatest questions in the whole world. What must I do to be born again or to enter the kingdom of God? That's a very important question. He wanted to know, how can I get to heaven? Imagine, it would be like the Pope or a bishop or one of the hierarchies in the church and say, well, I've been in the church for 40 years, but I'm not born again. How can I be born again to go into the kingdom of God? That's the way Nicodemus was. Then look at verse 3. Here is now the new birth as a necessity. It is a necessity for every person in the kingdom of God. Verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, look, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There it is. There is the answer. It doesn't mean you have to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Calvary Chapel or a Catholic or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. Have you been born again of the Holy Spirit? That's the key. The reason is because this strong assertion made by him, except a man be born again, the word again is anathem in Greek, and it has three different meanings in the Greek. It means from the first, from the beginning, or completely and fully. Or secondly, it means again, a second time, a repeated act, or from above, from the top, which means from God only. Only from above. From God only can you be saved and enter the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you can't get in. The point is this. A man must be born again. He must be born completely and fully changed. Born all over again in the sense of a second time. From physical birth to spiritual birth. Born from above, from God, not from your mother's womb, as Jesus will tell him in a moment. He's not talking about a physical act. He's talking about a spiritual act. The importance here of the words cannot see the kingdom of God. One must be born again or else he will never see God or enter in the kingdom of God. It's an absolute imperative that a person has to be born again. Nothing different. You have to. Now, when you come to those terms theologically, looking at the regeneration of a man or a woman that accepts Jesus Christ, then I wonder how many really, truly will be in heaven that really have been born again of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus himself in John 3:18 said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then again in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then again in Acts 3:19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then again in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then finally in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing or cursing. Therefore choose life, and both thou and thy seed may live forever. We have to make a choice. It's a choice that every person has to make in order to enter the kingdom of God. Look at verse 4 through 8 now, as we see the new birth as a spiritual birth. Then Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus answered again and said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He makes a distinction. The physical and the spiritual. Do not marvel that I tell you again, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sounds of it, but cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus was puzzled by these words. Born again, what do you mean? He did not know what Jesus meant. He understood Jesus to be saying that a man must be born a second time. And then Jesus answered Nicodemus by doing five things. Number one, Jesus gave the source of the new birth. It was being born of water and even of the Spirit of God. He told him exactly how to do it. Then secondly, Jesus repeated the importance of being born again. A man can never see the kingdom of God or understand or know by experience the kingdom of God unless what? Unless he is born again of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, Jesus gave the nature of the new birth. It is spiritual, not physical. Spiritual, not physical and not material. You see? Where people confuse it. And yet, fourthly, Jesus reemphasized the absolute necessity for the new birth. You must be born again. The word must is dai in Greek and means absolute necessity and imperative in the Greek. You have to do this or else you can't get in. You must be born again. And yet, in so many pulpits of America, they make it so simple and so easy for people to go to heaven. When God has given us the guidelines in John chapter 3, how to get into the kingdom of God. And then fifthly, Jesus illustrated the point by picturing the wind. The Spirit of God works just like the wind. We may not know how the wind works, but we can see the effects of it in the trees, in the water, in the flowers. But again, in the same way the Spirit of God works in the heart of a person, he works because he cannot see it, but yet he can feel it, that he has been touched by the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. We're here to help you live a fruitful life for God as you abide in the riches of His Word. For resources, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. You can also email your Bible questions directly to Raul at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to our study, Regeneration, the New Birth.
And then in 1 John 3:9, whoever is born of God does not commit sin or does not make a practice of sin anymore. For his seed remains in him, which is the word of God, and he cannot sin because he is truly born of God. Notice that. And then in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. The other sign to being born again is the love of God in our hearts, loving people. Then in 1 John 5:1, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot love also that is begotten of him. So born again means a new nature, a new life, a different kind of a person. Look again in verses 9 to 11 now as we look at the new birth as a true experience and a definite experience of the individual. Look what he says, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And then Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? And then most assuredly I say to you, we speak that we have known and testify that we have seen, and yet you do not receive our witness. You see, Nicodemus' heart was touched by what Jesus was saying, and he wished to know what was meant by being born again, yet he did not know, but he wished to know like so many people. And so what did Jesus do? He began to explain to him the way of salvation. Why? Because Nicodemus was religious, but also he was a natural man. That is, he wasn't a Christian. According to Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see? Nicodemus was a natural man. He was not a spiritual man. If he would have been a spiritual man, then he would have understood what Jesus was telling him. But because he was an unbeliever, he did not understand what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus had to explain it to him. Then again, in Romans 8:16, he says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you become born again of the Holy Spirit lives in you. What does the Holy Spirit do? He identifies with you and he confirms to you that you are a son and a daughter of God. you have the assurance of salvation. Secondly, in Galatians 4:6, he said, "And because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, where you're crying, 'Abba, Father.'" And then again in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance." And then again in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." 1 John 2:3, "I hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And then in 1 John 3:18, 19, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." And then 1 John 4:13, "Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us by the Spirit which he gave to us individually." And then again, 1 John 5:6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Not the Antichrist spirit, God's Spirit. Verifies to you, verifies to me, verifies to others who is born again of the Holy Spirit. And then again in verse 11 to 12 of John chapter 3, the new birth was rejected by Nicodemus. There's actually two tragic facts here. Verse 11, "Most assuredly I say to you, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. And if I have told you of earthly things and you don't believe, then how in the world will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" You see? I mean, he makes a separation right now. Because Nicodemus was not receiving the witness of Christ. You see? He was not believing. He was rejecting it. And yet it is man's nature not to believe until the Holy Spirit touches your life. In 1 John 5:10, he said, "He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave to his Son," or of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then John 1:11, "He came into his own, and his own received him not." Speaking of the Jews, they did not receive Jesus. And then in John 12:48, "He that rejected me, Jesus, and received not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge him in the last day." Notice that. The severity of the judgment of God to those that have heard but never received or accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We know that Nicodemus eventually got born again, because we have that already in the Gospel of John. But look at here in verse 13, where Jesus Christ here, the Son of Man, mediator of the new birth, reveals now only that Jesus is the only one that can save you. Verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. This is the Son of Man who is in heaven." This is where now Jesus reveals himself to Nicodemus. Hey, look, I am God. I was in heaven, but I'm here now. I came down. The word that he uses here in the Greek, "he came down," we get our word "ik," which means out of heaven. No man can ascend up into heaven. No man can penetrate the spiritual world. Flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the earth, therefore it is earthly. Yet, however, Jesus Christ was different from all other men. Why? Because he was God. His origin was out of heaven. Out of the spiritual world and dimension of being, not of this earth. That's why Jesus said, "Look, man, I'm not from here. I'm from there. But I came to give you life." And so everything that Jesus did was timeless. It was according to time. Everything that he did, it was all according to the divine time of God when he came. When Jesus spoke in John 6:33, 38 to them, he said, "Look, for the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and gives life unto the world. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of God that sent me." Notice that. He makes it clear. He wasn't selfish. He came to do what the Father ordered him to do. Secondly, in John 6, 50, 51, he said, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, speaking of himself, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread who came down from heaven, and if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world." Speaking of what? His body, when he would go to the cross. Then again in John 8:42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I for myself, but he sent me to you." Then again in John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus knew who he was, and he's telling them. And then again in John 17:5, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Now, Father, glorify thou me with yourself, with the glory which I have with thee before the world ever existed." You see, before time, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 14 and 15, he says something interesting about the new birth. Notice again verse 14 and 15. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Notice that. This is the first act of Jesus' death. "Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Speaking of what? His crucifixion. Notice that. And what did Christ do on the cross? He took your curse, my curse, the curse of sin upon himself. And he healed us. And he saved us through the cross of Jesus Christ.
If doubts or regrets have been holding you back from enjoying a relationship with Jesus, we hope today's lesson has stirred your heart to start fresh and experience the abundant new life that He desires for you. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's study was titled Regeneration, the New Birth. If you'd like, we can send you a complete copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just give us a call at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to tell you about this entire 15-part series titled True Salvation. It's available on both CD and USB. With each lesson, your faith will deepen as you ponder God's gracious plan to help you leave the past behind and surrender your future to His care. You'll also learn about the eternal heavenly home that awaits all who receive Christ's salvation. To purchase Rolt's 15-lesson True Salvation series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the flash drive for $20 or the CD collection for $30. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Be sure to download the Somebody Loves You app to access live-streamed Bible teaching and digital Bible studies. For podcasts of all of our previously aired programs, you can browse iTunes and Spotify or check us out on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. We are fully listener-supported here at Somebody Loves You Radio, and every tax-deductible gift helps us continue reaching more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Join us next time as we conclude this True Salvation series with a challenge to abide in Christ and live a fruitful life that brings glory to His name. Drawing from the strength of Scripture and honoring God with obedience, you can be used as a beautiful witness of the gospel. Here's Raul once again with the closing comment.
Verse 15, look what he says. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I mean, how much easier can anybody have it, as Jesus Christ illustrates here, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ? Will not perish, but will have eternal life. Life that is not just quality life. It's life that is going to go beyond the grave forever and ever and ever to be with Jesus Christ. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Isaiah 53:5. But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Imagine that. What Christ has done for you and me. How? Through regeneration. By being born again of the Holy Spirit.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.